I wonder how many of us can remember what we were doing on this day 44 years ago. 44 years ago, the Day of Atonement fell on the 6th of October, 1973. From early in the morning on that day, the news channels on both radio and television were full of reports of that Syria, Jordan and Egypt had simultaneously attacked Israel. Early indications being that the surprise attack would lead to an Israeli defeat. However, during the next 3 days, the Israeli forces became more or less fully mobilised and recovered from their initial setbacks. The war had begun when Arab countries, when an Arab coalition launched a joint surprise attack on Israel and the positions which they had taken during the previous war. And this occurred on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in Judaism, which has also occurred during that year, during the Mohammedan holy month of Ramadan. Egyptian and Syrian forces crossed ceasefire lines earlier in the Sinai Peninsula and on the Golan Heights, respectively. And both the United States and the Soviet Union initiated massive resupply efforts to their respective allies during this war. And this led to a near confrontation between the two major nuclear superpowers of that time. 18 days later, and after a particularly bitter week of fierce fighting, Israeli forces were shelling the outskirts of Damascus City and had encircled the Egyptian Third Army at Port Suez on the western side of the Suez Canal and were considered to be threatening the city of Cairo. As a direct result of the early successes of the Arab forces, the Yom Kippur War was seen, despite the recovery of the Israeli forces, as a turning point in history for the Arabs, in that they thought that it no longer meant that the Israelis could be counted on to be guaranteed military superiority against our neighbours in all future conflicts. When one looks back today, we have to ask ourselves, what has changed? And the answer probably is not a lot. The Middle East is still a cauldron ready to boil over. Satan is the god of this world, and evil spirits still exert enormous influence over the governments of the world around, on every continent. We now appear to be very close to the time in which Jesus Christ said, "Unless those days should be shortened, no flesh should be saved alive." On the 6th of October 1973, war between the most powerful nuclear-armed powers looked imminently possible. Today, 44 years later, there are a number of nations which have nuclear weapons, some of whom appear to be ready, and according to some, able to deliver those nuclear weapons. Even North Korea is now threatening to detonate a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific Ocean. The whole situation is insane, and that insanity is caused by Satan, the god of this world. This means that this is the time when the church must make every available effort to make available the word of God to those who wish to find it. It is up to us to show that we are loyally behind the work of the living Christ by enabling the church to make the gospel message of the coming kingdom of God available to all who wish to find it. Being one of God's seven annual holy days, this is one of the times when the church of God takes up an offering. If we now turn back to the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 44, we see why it is that the truth is so often so hard to find. Satan's attitudes become very apparent when watching many of the world's leaders when they speak to us on television or in person. Those who have studied body language often get the sense of what is being said as either truth or whether it's downright lies. Just studying the way that the people look at you, their facial expression, their deportment, And their whole attitude has often given away that they're either not telling the truth or they're deliberately lying to us. There are certain doctrines of particular groups where lying is as a matter of course and considered to be essential. For example, there's a Mohammedan doctrine of Al-Taqiyya. Al-Taqiyya is a doctrine which demands that the followers of Mohammedanism actually deliberately lie to conceal the truth where the truth is considered to be unhelpful to their political system. Deception becomes the name of the game, with deceivers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here in John chapter 8 and verse 44 we read the following words: "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of it." Satan, as the god of this world, influences people who are cut off from the true God. When Jesus spoke the words that were recorded in the above passage, he was addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, the people who were, under the Roman overlords, virtually in charge of the day-to-day running of the state of Judea at that particular time. It is also recorded by the Apostle Paul that evil spirits, or as the King James says, spiritual wickedness in high places, sway the policies of human governments. That is found in Ephesians 6 verse 12. Is it any wonder that the world is in the present predicament? When Christ, during his human ministry, prophesied that a different way of conduct would be preached, when he said that the gospel of the kingdom of God would be preached to all the world, and then the end of this age would come, Matthew 24:14 refers. Mr. Armstrong carried that message to the world leaders. He explained the gospel message to them in a way that they could understand. Mr. Armstrong also stated that particular prophecy in Matthew had been fulfilled in his lifetime. Moreover, there is still work to be done. The present commission of God's church is primarily to feed the flock, and that does require funding. During the latter years of Mr. Armstrong's ministry, the annual income of God's church amounted to around £250 million. Since that time, the church has been shattered and scattered to the four winds. Yet we have a very small group here in comparison to what the church once was. Yet the work is going out today, in many respects, is far more powerful than the work that Mr. Armstrong did. Today, practically everything that the church produced during Mr. Armstrong's time when he was trying to get the church back on track is available on the church website. And Mr. Armstrong did say that the times of Daniel, which are found in Daniel chapter 12, that at the 1335 days before Christ's return, that the work would be cut off. And despite the fact that so much is available to the church and to the church membership on the church website, that can be brought to a close simply by the flick of the switch nowadays. So this is the way, perhaps, that the famine of the word will begin. In these trying times, it is incumbent upon us all to hold to the faith that was once delivered. There are now many small groups scattered around the globe. The Church of God in Wales is providing food in due season. Yet, by comparison to former years, it is operating on the proverbial shoestring. Not only that, but this is a minuscule work in comparison to the financial aspect of what once was the worldwide Church of God. Now the church is heavily dependent upon the internet, which is too easy to close by human governments, opposed to the message that we carry to the world of God's coming kingdom, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As mentioned previously, there are wicked spirits in high places influencing national governments. Even so, while time permits, the work of God's church still needs to be financed. As mentioned by Mr. Philip Henderson on the Feast of Tabernacles, on Feast of Trumpets rather, most of us here have heard the book, the words of Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verses 16 and 17 thousands of times on each holy day. And despite the fact that he used it on the trumpets just a few days ago, we will turn there again. The amount of our offering is in many respects immaterial, but the attitude in which it is given is vital. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verses 16 and 17 we read these words. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God, in the place that he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. We are now in the Feast of Tabernacles season. This is a holy feast day, and it is on these days that God's church takes up an offering. Our offering should have been planned out well in advance of the offering basket having landed in our hands. Our offering should have been given willingly, as God loves a cheerful giver. When we compare our offering with what God has given us, we should be totally taken aback because of the absurdity of even trying to make this comparison. Jesus Christ actually laid down his life for us, and God is offering us eternity. There is nothing that we can give that in any way equates to anything that we have been given or which we are offered. We breathe, we have life, we see and we hear. And now we give of our substance to make the good news of God's coming kingdom, Jesus Christ's gospel message, available to all who wish to find it. I would now like to turn with us all to Leviticus chapter 23 and read verses 26 to 28. I previously mentioned how Satan, as the god of this world, has wicked spirits in high places and has brought the world to the parlous situation which we now find. This day represents the time when Satan will be put away and banished from influencing the world and the affairs of humankind. Here in Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 26 to 28, we read these words. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a holy the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Eternal your God. Here we are gathered together in holy convocation, with groups scattered around this globe. We are still a part of God's true church. We are still carrying a warning message to those who wish to find it, of God's coming kingdom. The world is no safer today now than it was 44 years ago, when many of us awoke to the news of the Yom Kippur War. Nothing has really changed yet. But soon Satan will be removed. There will be no more war. There will be no more sighing and no more crying. Until then, we still have a job to do. That means that we will continue to support the work of God that he has entrusted to us as his people. We will now take up the offering, and whilst this is being done, there will be offering music, which will be The Lord is My Shepherd, which is Psalm 23, the William Havershall version, and it will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson.